Okay. Mark 16:4. All right, Mark 16:4. Okay. It says, but when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. All right. Yara sandoriekara. Hey, hell, yandara karavara yo, hey, all right. So let's just go back and read a Mark 16:1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, or Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance? Roll there means to restored. Comes from haliso, but it also means to, like, to roll away or to roll together. Sorry, roll together. We see it in Revelation 6:14 where he talks about the scroll being rolled up. So the heavens receded or the heavens departed like a scroll being rolled up. So the heavens departed and receded. Get an image of it. So the heavens departed, which means to separate from. Okay, so the heavens separated from or receded, which is to roll up. So like a scroll being rolled up, it says. Okay, that's in Revelation 6:14. And every mountain and island was removed from its place. Okay. Holy, Yara shirandara, moriandara ho. Okay, so roll together. Roll together, it means to roll off or roll away in Mark 16:4. Roll away, roll back. We can go look in the word from that, which is coolio, coolio. It means to roll along or to wallow. Okay, so just keep that in mind. And we're gonna go and look at yeah. So they roll together. They roll away the stone from the door of the tomb. And roll together. And from roll away or roll together, the word kumar comes out of that. And that means to be folded together or to be wrapped together. It means to be a wave. It means to be billow, like to billow forth. It also means to be pregnant or encircling and surrounding. And that's where they get the word wrap from. Okay, so the word kumar comes from that, so folding together. So let's look at, then it says that this is in Mark 16:4, goes on a little bit more. We're going to come back to it, but this is how we're doing it today. Yay! Oh, okay. And then they looked up, it says, and so having looked up, which means to have their sight recovered. Okay, so their sight was recovered, they're looking up. And which means that they're perceiving and they can discern. Well, it's to see something physical with spiritual results, or to be possessed of sight and to have power to see. Okay, so they looked up, they were possessed with power to see, they could, their sight was restored or recovered. After the stone had been rolled away, which was, it was a large, extremely large stone, it says. Extremely means to be like of a high degree, vehemently. And the stone is a millstone. Mill, right? That's where. Mill. And it's of all small stones put together to make a big stone, isn't it? All little stones is. Or small stones. When they come together, joined together, it makes a large stone. All right, let's have a look. So, we know Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and it's talking about that rock. The temple of God, okay? It says the truths with which as with building materials a teacher builds Christians up in wisdom, okay? So again, 1 Peter 2:5 says it's of the truths which we're building materials as teachers build up Christians up in wisdom, or costly stones, or precious stones and gems. So it's all the little stones, or all the little stones of wisdom. It can be that, to build up and to form the rock, to form the wisdom, to form the church, to build the Christian up, to make the Christian the church. And okay, all right. And we see the word stones used in Matthew 4:3, and Matthew 4:3 says, it says that having been tempted, right? So the tempter came to Jesus and he said, if you really are the Son of God, then turn these stones to become bread. So Jesus is getting tempted by the devil, who's saying, well, if you really are a Son of God, these stones should be turned into bread, or you can turn these stones into bread. So it's the same word, stones. Like, stones can be, they're like, can be offences, right? The rock of offence, but it can be offence in the heart. We're talking about the tomb here. We're talking about a stone. We're talking about rolling away the stone from the tomb. Because they were on their way to anoint Jesus. Like, firstly, they're on their way to anoint Jesus. They know something. I mean, there's some type of insight or perception that they've got, that if they go down to the tomb and anoint Jesus with some oil, with some perfume, somehow it's going to raise him up. It's going to bring him back to life, you know. That's what the perception of that is. So they get down to the tomb and, you know, they're like, oh, well, now we're here. Who's gonna roll this stone away? Because Jesus isn't here to do it. He's inside, and only Jesus can roll this stone away. What we're also looking at, the stony heart. We're looking at a hardened heart. We're looking at the stone that, you know, he says, I'll give them a new heart, he says in Ezekiel, not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh, a heart that's sensitive to the Spirit, sensitive to the impulses of the Spirit and the things of God. A hard heart can't. Now, the stone is covering the tomb. There's just so many layers of revelation. This stone is covering the tomb where Jesus is in. Tomb is like the death, right? So it's like this hard stone is... It's guarded, right? It's a hard heart, but it's also a hard spirit, because heart also represents, it's the cardia, but it's also the center of the will and the character and the personality. And it's, you know, they're like, only Jesus could move. Let's think about something else. Let's think about the time where Jesus, let me get the scripture for it, but he was down with the, here they are, Mark 9:20, it says that they brought him to Jesus, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, and he fell to the ground and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. The word rolled around then is the same word roll along or roll about and wallow. It's the same word, or roll together, helesio. It's the same word that's used to roll the stone away from the tomb that Jesus was in. It's exactly the same word. And it means to wallow about or lie in mud or wallow in nostalgia or depression. It also means to be of shallow water. Now, Only Jesus, once the boy was brought to Jesus, the spirit threw the boy down and started to roll around. So this spirit in the boy was rolling around. Okay, so this spirit, that's guarding the tomb of Jesus Christ because it's the death. Okay, so this spirit of death is guarding the tomb of Jesus Christ, and only Jesus can cast down spirits and throw spirits down and move them out of the way to bring freedom and liberty and open doors. Now they're like, well, Jesus, who's going to move this stone? Because Jesus isn't here to do it. Okay, so that's what they're saying. It's also saying, like, spirits roll together. The same spirit rolls together. It's another way to look at it. Like, the spirits of death and the spirits of the demonic, they roll together. We roll together. This is how we roll, right? This is how we roll. This is how we are. And if there's the same for the spirit of the body of Christ, those who have that spirit, this is how we roll. This is how we are, right? This is how we roll together. We're united and we're one and we roll together and we're, this is how we do it. Okay, so this rolling along, who's going to move this stone? They get there and we're going to look at it a little bit more. Okay, so Mary Magdalene and the mother, she was the mother, Mary, the mother of Joseph. Mary, the mother of Jesus and James. And it says that where he was laid, we're going to go and read it all. Yeah, we're going to do that. Give me a second. Bear with me. Sorry, guys, you have to bear with me. I am tired. So Matthew 4:3, where we talked about the living stones, okay, so the tempter comes and he says, well, if you really are a son of God, turn these stones into bread, okay? So now we know that these stony hearts and these hardened hearts and these hardened spirits that cause hardened hearts, that guard the heart, that, they stand in front of the heart so it can't receive the impulses of the Holy Spirit. This, the sons of God will turn those stones into bread, turn them into Jesus Christ. Okay, they'll be able to turn them into the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what happens. So the stony heart would be turning these stones to make them living stones, or to make them bread, or the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of, well, because bread can mean revelation, manna from heaven. So we're turning these stones, these hearts, into the heart of Jesus, into the heart of the Father, into manifestation of Jesus Christ, okay? All right, so Mark 6:1, so then they've passed, it says that, the Sabbath has passed, which means that they've gone through or to go through the Sabbath. Sabbath is also represents the seventh day. It can be the seventh day, the seventh week, the seventh year. It's a significant completion of a cycle, okay, and they've gone through it, okay, it's like they've gone through it, it's like you have to go through this process, you have to go this through this, process, and, they've come through it, and once they've come through it on the seventh day, they're going to the tomb. Okay. So it says that they brought spices, which is to buy in the marketplace. It means where something becomes another one's possession, and how the believer now belongs to the Lord as his unique possession. Christ purchased all the privileges and all the responsibilities that go with belonging to him. It means being in Christ. Spices represent perfume, and it means to prepare. Prepare, or spices, comes from the word aero. It means to be sending off a scent, or to raise or lift up and to draw them up. Okay? To anoint him means that they were going to anoint the dead. Okay? And anointing brings healing and relief. It brings penetrating comfort, to impart strength and healing and joy. It comes from the word alilo, or it also is lipraros, and it means to be rich and sumptuous and delicate, and it's a style of living, a way of living, and it's like dainty. It also, lipraros actually just means it, the word itself is like to be under the word, in the mundane and the profane. Okay, it means to also grease and oil. So it's the grease and the oil to perform the mundane, a style of living, to raise them up, to do that, to perform that. But the anointing is actually anointing the dead. Okay, it brings healing and relief to raise them up. Okay, so then very early on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, they came to the tomb. Tomb is to keep them in memory. But it means to be having risen, to be made to rise, or to fulfill a goal. It also means to be descended from him. So having arisen, they've descended from him, they've come from him, they're fulfilling a goal, and they're making to rise. Okay, so the sun, the word sun is helios, it means sunlight, it means to root as to burn, or root us to burn. Root us to burn, so and the rays of the sun. Mark 16:3 says, they asked each other, so who's going to roll this stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Okay, who means every man will roll it away. They'll roll away all, that's what it's saying, every man will roll it away eventually. Mark 9:20, and then they brought Jesus, that I've already spoken about that. So, sorry, I may or may not put this up. I may re-record it. I'm very tired. But, holy, Boresanda, Yandere Kereveshirisito, Yandere Ko. Yeah, thank you, Father. Okay, so it says that they looked up, which means to gaze and to take part or to partake of. And those who are looking up who are being made able to see, they concentrate on the meaning of an action, like the performance. They're a spectator. They behold it with their eyes. They can ascertain. They find out by seeing. So they can predict. They can predict with the natural realm what's happening in the spiritual realm. They've got the discerning ability. They're capable. Their gaze is directed to particular actions. They can concentrate on a particular action and ascertain and to find out, which causes them to predict what's happening in the natural realm to give relevance of what's happening in the spiritual realm, okay? So can see what God is doing, and that's what it's talking about. So it said that they, you know, they were able to perceive and they were able to ascertain. So very early, they were on their way to the tomb, and then they asked each other, who's going to roll this stone away? Meaning, how are we going to get this spirit off who's guarding our access to the Lord? Because he's in the tomb, but the tomb means it's the rock, but it's also, a tomb means a room inside of a rock. Okay, and we know Jesus is the rock and he goes away to prepare us a room. I've gone to make a room for you. So the natural realm, what we're seeing here in the natural, the prophetic natural, you know, scripture that we're reading here, and the message of Jesus, and what we see in the natural is the spiritual meaning of that is to, how are we going to get access to Jesus when I've got this spirit who's hardened my heart, guarding my heart, and there's no way to get in access to Jesus? Okay, that's what they're saying. They got there and they've realized that only Jesus, because of their experience with Jesus, walking when Jesus appears and demons are brought to him, demons throw down and they make these people roll around, right? So they know Jesus is the only solution to get these demons out of the people. And who is going to open the tomb when Jesus is the one in the tomb? We need Jesus out of the tomb to open or to move this spirit, right? To make this spirit, throw this spirit down so we can open up the tomb, so we can get access, so we can roll the stone away, which is to get rid of the hardened heart to have access to Jesus, right? Amen. Got it. I know you got it. All right. So then we say, you know, the rolling away means to also restore. It means to the heavens departed, which means to be separated and asunder. And it's like a scroll being rolled up. The word scroll is biblion, which is Bible. Okay, so it's the Bible, and the Bible, and to be rolled up means to be folded together. So in Revelation, the same word is used where it's saying Revelation 6:14, then the heavens departed, they separated asunder, they separated the heavens, which is the spirit of the second, whatever heavens are there blocking. Okay, so then it's like the scroll, which is the Bible, being rolled up, being folded together, which is causing. Okay, we'll read the rest of it. And then every mountain and island out of that place of them were moved. Okay, so the heaven departed, it separated the heavens asunder from the scroll, which is the word, which has gone in. And now it's caused it to fold together, and it causes every mountain, which means to remove or accomplish the most difficult, stupendous, incredible thing, causes it to rise and the island, which is to set it in motion, stir it up, excite it, cause it to throw into commotion. So the heavens departed, the heavens is cut it asunder, the Bible, which is the scroll inside the person, folded together to create and to manifest or to bring together or to form inside the person the ability to to remove the mountain, which is to again moving that blockage, to cause the most incredible miracle, which is to cause the person to rise up, to set them in motion, to stir them up and excite them, and to bring them out of places, right, where they're moved, they're ready to go. The island represents, it's a floating land, it's a ship. So again, it's talking about the person, the body of the person as a ship, as a vessel, now carrying the living Bible inside of them, causing them to fold together with others, rolling together, folding together. So we're living out the Bible, which is you're becoming a manifestation of the Word. You're becoming a manifestation of the Lord Jesus, morphing as some type of representation of Him through your own life and personality as a ship, as you're moving around the country, accomplishing the most difficult and most incredible things. You're stirred up and you're now set into motion, and you've been called to go. Okay? Amen. Mark 16:3 says, and then they asked each other, as we've said, who's going to do it? And, you know, the tomb, as I said, is a sepulchre, which is a room in a rock. Okay? So it's a prophetic, natural, symbolic message of an image of how we live in the spirit, which is He's made a room for us. He's the rock. There's a room inside of Him for us, okay? Who's going to remove it from the entranceway? The entranceway means a door, but it also means an opportunity, okay? The entrance to the dead, but it's an opportunity, okay? So when the stone's removed, we have an opportunity now to enter in. Once the heart and heart, or the spirit, the dead spirit's taken care of, that's guarding that hardness or that stone, we remove it and we release Jesus, or we allow access to Jesus, then we've got this opportunity to, you know, go into the tomb, go into the room and be with Jesus. Now it says when they went in there was a young man sitting in the, let's get that scripture up, that there was a young man sitting in there, okay? Then they looked up and then they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. So they looked up, which they could perceive. Their sight was restored as they looked up. They saw that the stone that was violent and vehement. So it was, they can see that it was once violent and vehement, has been actually removed. Okay, so it's double meaning, more than double. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. So that's when they went in. And the young man represents like a warrior or somebody who's ready for the military, ready for to enter the military, but also represents an angel. So it's talking about an angel was sitting there, but, you know, an angel warrior in the military. You know, an angel warrior, you sitting now inside the tomb. So now the stone's rolled away. Sitting inside the tomb is the angel. Okay. Representing you, representing Jesus in you as the warrior, ready for military now, ready for the army because of what's taken place. Not only did you perceive and believe and you come to bring, you wanted to bring the anointing to the dead, not only that, but you also perceive that only Jesus can remove the spirit that's giving the hard heart, causing the hard heart, that Jesus is the answer for that. And now that you've accessed that and you've got to the next level, you can see now that the young man is sitting in the tomb where they say in Mark 16:5 is the angel in the warrior, ready for military now because of their belief, because of what they've been able to believe and therefore be able to perceive. Okay, and then it says that he was seated. Okay, he was seated there, and seated means to be enthroned and dwell and reside. So it's the angel, the young man is a symbolic representation of the angel of the Lord seated and enthroned upon a young warrior's heart, or inside the young warrior's body. Now there's a new heart. Okay, it's the angel of the Lord has taken over. Now there's no more stony, hard heart. It's the angel of the Lord now ready for military because of what they've overcome and what they've witnessed and what they've believed. Okay. So in the room, in the rocks, so 1 Corinthians 14:30 says it's a state or a condition. It's used of those who sit in discharging their office as judges. Okay, that's that same word. When they're sitting down, they're seated down. This guy's saying they're saying that he was seated at the on the right. Okay, Darius, it means to be by his own power. So it's his own power. Jesus is the angel of the Lord in you. It's his power, his own power. He's seated, this angel is sitting at the right, which is his, it's like his own power. Okay, because we see in other places of the scripture, he says, you know, sit down at my right hand and I'll make all the enemies of you a footstool, right? So he's saying like he was sitting now at the to the right to represent. He is the power on the right. He is the power physically, a physical embodiment and form of himself in the form of an angel, a warrior ready to go to military, seated, enthroned, living this out, discharging from his office as a judge by his own power. It says they're proceeding from one in whom he is said to stand or to sit. He's at my right hand, namely as a leader to sustain me. Okay, so he's a leader to sustain me. But equally important to this is he isn't just to sustain me, we sustain him, because without a body for him to embody, to put that angel or that angel power to enter into a body, he's not sustained in the earth through a body, through a vessel. That's why he needs the ship, he needs the vessel to manifest himself, okay, to morph into the person, into the vessel. So his power sustains us, but we sustain his power at the same time. Because without us, he has no way to manifest his power, operate his power, discharge his power of office as a judge. Okay, he needs vessels that do that, that discharge. Once he's enthroned in them, he discharges his office as a judge through them in a military style combat. Amen. Sustaining him, sustaining us, both goes both ways. Equally important. Equally important. Okay. And then it says that this angel, this young man, had a white robe sitting on the right side. Okay. So the white robe, the robe represents to be, to put on like a, to be wearing a garment, which is of dignity, but it's also of equipment. Okay, so this robe he's wearing represents he's got all the equipment he needs in this robe, in this garment, in this mantle, in this apparel. It's over him. It's stole. Stole. And it's worn by the upper class, talking about the royals, okay? And they said that the it's white, which is white and brilliant in awe, right? Okay, and then they were alarmed, which was amazed, and they were shocked at what they seen. And not only what they seen, but what they perceived and what they inherently knew straight away as soon as they seen, because of the revelation that was immediately imparted just by perceiving and seeing, okay? Mark 16:6, don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He's risen, he's not here. See the place where they laid him, okay? Where they laid him is where they appointed him to. So see the place where they laid him. See the place where they appointed him, where he was appointed. Appointed as judge, as appointed as king of the Jews. Okay, go before you. Okay, so Mark 16:7 talks about, but go and tell the disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. So he's going to go before you. He's going to go ahead of you, which means to go ahead of you in a judicial sense. So in a jurisdiction, like his jurisdiction, like judicial is to judge. He's going to judge as you go, as he goes before you. He's going to go ahead. He's gone ahead of you, which means he's gone and he's judged what needs judging before you even get there, okay? That's because he's operating out of the office of a judge. All right. Mark 16:8 says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and they fled from the tomb. Okay, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of who he had driven out 7 demons. And she went and she told all of those who she had been with, who were mourning and weeping. So they're mourning and weeping still at the feet of Jesus' death, mourning and weeping. They didn't have revelation of the resurrection and what that meant, that the, you know, the judge in the office, the risen power. Okay, so it says that she went to them who were still living only in the revelation of the cross, not the revelation of the resurrection. Mark 16:11 says, but when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. So she's gone back with this testimony. Hey, we've opened the tomb, da da da. We got in there without Jesus, and we get in there and there's this young man and he's got a gun and he's told us all this stuff, and this is what I'm getting, and this is all the revelation I got on it. And they didn't believe her. The word don't believe means disbelieve. It means to be unfaithful, refuse belief, betray his trust, refusing to be faithful. That's a bit different to be unfaithful, refusing to be faithful to him. So that's a choice. You're purposely you're choosing purposely not to believe, okay? And then it says that you're unconvinced when they should be persuaded by what the Lord has done. It means to have no belief in the now or the how of Christ's resurrection. It literally means to disobey. Disbelief is unbelief, is disobedience. Okay, so we've got on one hand, we've got the cross where the sins are forgiven, and then on the other hand, you've got resurrection, which is life, obedience, authority, restoration. So to come alive means to experience God's gift of life. Okay, so that's what it means. So Mark 16:12 says, after Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. So afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form. Appearing in a different form means to have morphed by form by which a person or a thing strikes a vision to the external appearance. Strike means to shape to nature, the nature, adjustment of parts. And then it says, while going into the country, which is going into them. So when Jesus, now he's in the resurrected form, in that angel power form, the angel power enters the person into their country, which is their land, causing them to be a mobile ship, a mobile vessel with the angel power and authority equally as important and valued as God himself. Because without him, we can't be sustained, but without us, he's not sustained in the earth because he's got no one to manifest himself through. So they can't see Jesus. So they're manifesting, they're perceiving through, what are they perceiving and how are they going to believe? Now, they didn't believe because she went back with an eyewitness account and said, I seen Jesus, and they still didn't believe. They didn't believe and they were unfaithful, and this is what he's saying about them. That they, you know, that they betrayed his trust. Okay? And then it says this, Mark 16:13. They returned and reported it to the rest, but they also didn't believe them. Later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. And he rebuked them. Now these are the ladies coming back and telling the disciples and Peter. And these men are not believing the women's experience and not believing what the women have seen and what the women are saying. Okay, later Jesus appeared, and it's true, and it happened today. I had somebody, you know, make a joke or a bit of a mockery, actually a male was just, no, they just don't actually, that I said, do you think I'm actually stupid? Like, you have no idea that you're talking to the angel of the Lord. Because I'm in a woman's body, you don't understand. You're talking to the angel of the Lord because you know, because there's no resurrection life happening there, or no insight. So later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So not only now did they get, they're going to get rebuked because he's sent a woman to, the woman have gone back. They're the first ones that have witnessed, and they've gone back with this revelation and this account of what they've seen. And that's not enough for them to believe. So the Lord Jesus himself, you know, I sent you the women. You could have had it then, but you didn't want it. Okay. So now the Lord Jesus himself comes with a rebuke, and the rebuke is, this is what a rebuke is. Okay, it's to cause disgrace, it's an insult, it's a mock and a curse, it's to cast blame, it's to be culpably guilty and deserving of punishment, it's denounce. That's what it means. A rebuke is to be denounced by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Rebuke the unbelief because of their hardened heart, because they withheld those who were not, because they witnessed those who were raised from the dead. That's what it's saying. They actually witnessed those who were raised from the dead, but they still didn't believe. So Yeah, and why do they get a hardened heart? Because there's lack of moisture, lack of lubricant, lack of oil, lack of Holy Spirit, okay? Why is there lack of Holy Spirit? Because they're unbelief. That's why there's no Holy Spirit there. So someone refusing to be receptive or obedient, okay, they're dead, they're lifeless, they're not able to respond to the impulses, and they're unresponsive to life-giving influences, which is opportunities. So there's an opportunity on your door. Jesus is the tomb's been, the stone's been rolled away. Jesus has been presented, and they're unresponsive to the giving influence, which is the opportunity. They're inoperative to the things of God. Okay, because of their hardened heart, which also implies rebellion. Okay, that's what it's saying. It implies rebellion. Now, the rebuke to the unbelief is because that they receive, they seem, there's been a physical, they come back as a witness to tell them what they had seen with the angel of the Lord sitting in the tomb, okay, and that actual embodiment of the angel power in that person saying, Jesus isn't there, the tomb, the stone's been rolled away, there's an angel in his spot. We can't believe it. We're awestruck. We're like, wow. Okay, so they've come back with this, filled with this revelation. So not only that, how long ago were they all sitting at the cross mourning this, you know, what's happened at the cross? They were sad. They were wallowing in self-pity, because that's what it also means to be rolling away the stone. So they're wallowing in self-pity. They're wallowing in, they've got depression. They're in nostalgia, right? So they're down and out. And now these women have come back. They're not nostalgia. The stone's rolled away. The spirit's gone. They've got resurrection life right in front of them. They've been resurrected now, these women. So they come back from a gloomy, wallowed, self-pity state, coming back. They've been depressed and out. There was no life in them. They were like dead corpses with nothing going for them. All of a sudden, they've had this encounter with Jesus. They've come alive. They've been risen up. They've come back, and they're sharing now this testimony. And that witness that you can clearly see something has changed in the person. They're no longer depressed and out and do-do-do, wallowing and self-pity and talking about the past all the time. There's something has physically happened to these people in the natural realm, which should signify to somebody who doesn't have a hard heart, something spiritual has also taken place, right? Because that's what that does. But these people with hardened hearts themselves, they can't receive it. They can't. For some reason, they're so rebellious in their heart and heart that witnessing a first-hand account of somebody who was down and out and all of a sudden resurrected with the and talking about Jesus coming back to life and saving them and changing them. Hello, this is happening in everybody's lives. We're not talking just about Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus and James. We're talking about today as well, right? God will use people to knock them out and to put them in depression and to show them and then fill them with his power for a sign and a wonder to show you that they've been resurrected so you can believe, your eyes can believe something's happened. Come on now, preach. All right. Mark 16:15 says, then Jesus said to them, we'll go now into the whole world and preach the gospel to all of creation. Okay, it says that whoever believes, which means to be persuaded, and is baptized, which means to be fully immersed in water, which is the Holy Spirit, not shallow water, okay, where you've got dead spirits, but fully immersed in the Holy Spirit, which there's no spirit, no dead spirits there, no hard stones, no hard stones blocking the tomb, okay. They'll be saved, it says. So whoever believes, is persuaded, and is baptized, fully immersed in the Holy Spirit, will be saved. They'll be healed, they'll be preserved, and they'll be rescued. Okay, three, that's what it's saying, that's what saved means. Healed, preserved, and rescued. But whoever does not believe, they are going to be condemned, which means that their judgment, or they're going to be judged worthy of punishment. And have eternal miseries. So that's why they say joy is The number one, you know, you can tell somebody's entered the kingdom when they're joyful. But if they're just miserable all the time, they're under eternal misery, eternal punishment, judged worthy of punishment because they failed to be persuaded. They failed to believe. People are being resurrected right in front of their faces from a depressed, lost cause to a full of life, living being, resurrected power. And that's still not enough for these hardened-hearted people to believe. So what do they get? They get a rebuke. They don't want to believe the words of the people that are being sent to them to help them be saved. Then the Lord shows up with a rebuke, and that rebuke is disgrace, insult, mock, punishment, and a denouncing. He denounces himself from them because they don't believe, okay? Amen. And then it says, go and preach the gospel to all the world, all creation, whoever. Okay, we've said that. And then he says in Mark 16:17, and then once, so whoever believes and is persuaded, they'll be, the natural, what will happen next is that they get baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. So they're persuaded to believe because they've witnessed. Okay. All right. And then these signs will accompany those who do believe. Okay. So it doesn't say that their signs are going to accompany people who are living in eternal misery and they're judged worthy of punishment and they've been rebuked and they're under condemnation. No, these signs will only follow those who are believers, who are persuaded and who are baptized. Okay. Because once you believe, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Two things. What happens? Well, they will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues. Okay. Two signs to prove that these are believers with the Holy Ghost. And then they're going to pick up snakes with their hands. Snakes means anyone being used by the devil, cunning and crafty. Okay, they're going to pick up snakes. We all know what a snake is. We pick it up with our hands, which is hands represents the power of the kingdom. It's an instrument and a tool where the power of the kingdom that you are in is released. And we're talking about the kingdom of God. And so they pick up dead people. They pick up people that are being used by the devil, by the power of God. And when they drink deadly poison, which is when they drink anything that's dead, which is a mortal, which is carnal, it won't hurt them at all. But it will play, they will place their hands on the sick people and the people will get well. So it's not going to get on you is what it's saying. Don't worry. It's not going to get on you. You're going to get on it. Your hands are going to go on it, release the power. And these people are going to be healed of their sickness because that's what it does, which means to be saved, right? Amen. To be saved, to be rescued, and to be preserved. Hallelujah. After that, the Lord Jesus, he spoke all of this stuff to them, and then he was taken up into the heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God to fulfill his prophecy. Okay, and then the disciples, they went out and they preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them. Okay, so the Lord worked through them, it says, Mark 16:20. Then after that, the disciples, they went out, like he said, and they started preaching everywhere, salvation. Be saved, Jesus Christ in you, died for your sin, but also resurrected to give you life and life more abundant, to give you authority to make you equal to God. He needs you, you need him, both of you to operate. That's what it says. And it's saying that the Lord worked with them, and he confirmed with his word the signs to accompany it. Okay? Or it says the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by miraculous signs. Okay? So what they say was confirmed by miraculous signs. The Lord works through them or works with them because he's inside of them, inside of his disciples. Okay? That's it. And then it goes on to Luke 1:1, and that's all we're going to do tonight. So God bless you guys, and God keep you. And understand that the resurrection power is not just living at the cross, dull, gloomy, wallowing, self-pity, blah, blah, blah. Oh God, I've got such a hard heart. The spirit's guarding my heart. Who's going to roll away the stone? There's no one here. I'm never going to get free from this. He says, yes, the message has come. The kingdom's upon you. Here it is. Jesus Christ, he's going to remove the stone. He's already done it. You just receive it. You just believe it. Be persuaded to believe. Don't be stubborn and hard-hearted and rebellious. Okay? Be persuaded and obedient. And yeah, then you get the baptism and then, you know, it follows through like that. God bless you guys. God keep you. Let the power of God come upon you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Good night.